Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Geek Roulette Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Spraggle.
And I'm the other host, John Lundquist. Hello.
So, this episode is going to be another arbitrary episode.
Backed by popular demand.
Part of it is that, as I said, we don't want to have some episodes where you don't have a specific topic in play, so
we can just bullshit and meander.
Exactly, and that's what this is definitely going to be about right here.
Yes. So. Just to start with, I have a prop, sir. I'm going to throw you for a loop here.
This is two.
Yes, on an audio medium, I have a prop. This is 2 weeks too late here, and I actually kind of forgot I had it because I've had it for several months. But this is your birthday present, which was what, 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago this Friday, right?
Yes, I'm now old.
Yes,
same age as you.
We're old. We won't say how old we are, but we're old.
Oh my God! Put your pants back on. What are you doing?
Damn it! Here you go, sir.
All right, and I'm live opening a present right now.
It is expertly wrapped in the paper that came to me in.
Yep. All that crinkling.
That is some great audio work there. That's some nice Foley work.
So what my dear friend, and I'll put this on our Facebook page as well, got me a growler, which is for a fake growler in some ways, for Mos Eisley Cantina.
It's a real growler.
It's a real growler, but it's a Star Wars themed growler for Mos Eisley Cantina, where I can now go there and get this filled up with blue milk.
Maybe if you take that to Galaxy's Edge with you, into whatever that Cantina's name is there, which I can't think of. Maybe they'll fill it with beer for you.
Actually, from a blue milk standpoint, that's kind of weird, because that's what he drank. Like, what did Luke order when he went to the Mos Eisley Cantina?
I don't know. What is the Star Wars beer? I feel like I should know this, and I probably do.
I don't know.
I mean, blue milk gets all the fame, but that's not like booze. That's just like, you know, that's like what you give your kid. Drink your blue milk or no dessert for you.
Oh, my gee, plea wizards.
No, I don't know. But
I feel like Carillion Ale is a thing, but I don't know. They don't really. I should probably look into that.
Now I need to find an appropriate thing to fill and put into this overall container.
Yes, you should. They've never really made not an approved Star Wars beer, I don't think.
No.
There was a local brewery. I wonder, was it Flat Earth that did that Dark Father one?
They are not Flat Earth anymore.
Was that? No, yeah, they got rebranded.
They are now St. Paul Brewing.
Yes. But I think it was them that did it had Darth Vader on there, but he had like a disco, like a pimp hat on or something.
Wait, that's how he normally dresses, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyhow, arbitrary episode means arbitrary thing. So for recommendations, I don't know what to recommend for this episode. If there's one thing I could recommend, if there's one company that does a great job when it comes to just advertising the product, not just even their, like, you know, when the product comes out, but what they do to lead up to it, it's Gearbox. And Borderlands 3 comes out in about a month and a half. And their commercials and all the things they're doing to build up for it, that's why I love Gearbox. That's why I love the Borderlands universe, because of just the gentle humor that they put into it. So go to your stores, pre-order Borderlands 3, go online and buy the Handsome Jack collection so you can play, you know, Borderlands 2 as well as Borderlands pre-sequel. Hell, even get Borderlands Game of the Year edition to play the first one, but play Borderlands. That's my recommendation.
I should do that, yes. Yeah, I'm kind of also at a loss for a recommendation. This is to peel back the curtain a bit. This is our third episode that we're recording tonight, so I've burnt through a few. Kind of an obvious recommendation, but I can go with, like, Stranger Things 3 I'm kind of working through, and also, like, to kind of cleanse the palate from that a bit, I've been working on Silicon Valley as well on HBO. Because they're kind of polar opposites, you know. Stranger Things is this very gritty, horror-type, supernatural thing, and then you get Silicon Valley, which is very much not. It's, you know, it's a comedy about a startup tech company in California.
I think I brought this up to you before. My big issue with Stranger Things season three is that in the first episode they go to a mall, and in the mall they go see a movie, and the movie has stadium seating. Theaters had stadium seating in the 80s.
No.
It is not accurate.
Very flat.
Suck it, Stranger Things. I'm sorry. That's still a great season.
It is so far. I've got two episodes left to go. Which I probably would have finished it last night, but I had some streaming issues where, I don't know if it was on Netflix end or Comcast end or whoever's, but it took me quite a while to get through one episode, so I did not finish up. I've still got two to go, and maybe tomorrow I'll finish those up.
All right. We're going to move on to our arbitrary list, and this arbitrary list is done because my co-host has recently left his job of several years. He is moving on to a new job, and this got me thinking here, because every job always has those awesome stories. So our arbitrary list is top three weirdest stories from jobs we've worked. Now, it doesn't have to be your last job, John.
No, one of mine is from my last job. Another one, oh God, that I shouldn't even tell, is from
No, that means you should tell then.
Oh no, I will. There's two I could go with from there. I'll give the tamer one, maybe. I'm still not sure what I'm going to do for a third one, so we'll see. I might cop out and just do two, because one of them hopefully will be worthy of two.
Lame.
My first one did happen at my last job that I'm just leaving, and it was basically one of the things I'm kind of known for, like at work and just in life in general for most people, is just being very level-headed, very easygoing. You know, nothing really gets to me. It takes quite a bit for me to lose my temper. Like, have you ever even seen me lose my temper, really? I think maybe once. That I can think of.
Once or twice, one of those two times was because of something I did, and...
Yeah, I can think of maybe twice that are right around the same time, like right when I was 21, I want to say.
It was the notorious water balloon incident, like water gun attack that me and Mark perpetuated on you. That was one of the most meanest things I have ever done to you, and...
See, I don't even remember that as much. I remember the parking lot incident at... What was that place called? That was 61 in Cottage Grove. It's not there anymore. Rodeo?
Rodeo, yeah.
I think. There was that, and then there was the speaking of infamous, the infamous Lollapalooza trip down to Des Moines.
Man, I was...
Those are the two I'm thinking of.
Yeah, there was a lot of angers built into that.
Yeah, those were good times. Youth. And, you know, yes.
But come on, quit waffling.
Yes, but anyway, like I said, so I'm generally known for being, you know, easygoing and, you know, whatever. So there was one weekend, this is at my last job, Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, for those of you who don't know, you know, you can go eat there or not, I don't really care. You know, what are they going to do? It was Labor Day weekend, probably 2 or 3 years ago, I want to say, I forget exactly when. And we were just getting our butts kicked. We were, you know, a little short staffed, but not completely, but just busy as heck. And it got to, and I was working the day shift, and I was working expo, which is where you kind of get the food ready to go out for the servers to take. You know, you put all the sauces on, put the last garnish on it, and get it up in the, you know, gather the tickets together and put them up. And it got to be around 3 o'clock, which is when the servers all kind of order their employee food, you know. So if you're on a double, that's kind of when they start breaking servers and let them order food and whatnot. And one server, her name was Sarah, had ordered something. I don't remember what it was. It was taking a while because, you know, kind of part of the deal is, you know, we get the employee food, but we don't put a huge priority on it because obviously the guests come first. You know, the employee food kind of comes up as it comes up. And she just kind of lost her temper. And she was just like, where's my goddamn food? I need my food now, this and that. And I would, you know, if I don't get my food now, I'm going to quit. You know, and my reaction was basically just like, okay, whatever. I don't care. You know, you can quit. That's friggin' great, fine with me. But the guy who was out there with me, his name was Oscar, and I think he was just sick of taking her crap. And he just got it all ready together. And one of the things she had on there was a side of avocado, which he, you know, in the rush and flurry of getting everything ready, translated as side of guacamole. So he gave her a side of guacamole, put all her food up there, and she just yelled back at him, I'm supposed to get a side of avocado, not side of guacamole, and just yelled. And I was, at this point, I just had it, and I was like, here's your goddamn avocado. And I went down to her pantry station, grabbed an entire avocado, and just chucked it out the window at her, and I almost took out a plate of food that another server was grabbing to run out to a table. And that has kind of gone down in infamy at Bubba's as, you know, don't make John mad or he'll throw an avocado at you. So I don't generally get mad, but when I do, it usually has comical results.
Nice. My current employment I do right now, I work a part-time job where I work for a beverage company where as a merchandiser, I go and stock shelves of product, you know, from the warehouses of various grocery stores or, you know, other places like Target or Walmarts or whatever. And there's routes that are out there. I mean, there's over like 300 different area stores in our area that we service. And with those various stores, there's good routes and bad routes. Now, Most of the stuff I get because of my job status are probably not the good routes. And the reason why is because all the good routes, all the veterans or people that have seniority since it's a union-based job, they have all the good routes. So there's areas I go to that are not as lovely. And there's one store that I won't name by name just because, for the most part, just to, you know, I don't want to get a cease and desist letter for slander.
You are currently employed there, so you can't badmouth your
right, employer. I can't. Well, that's the thing, is that I'm not, it's not even my employer. It's the store that my employer sends me to work.
Yes. But
anyhow, there's one store, there's a part, let me be very clear here. Minneapolis and St. Paul, where we live here in Minnesota, compared to other metropolitan cities, is tame. If we go to other metropolitan cities, like New York or Chicago or any of those right there, the crime elements are just through the roof. But there's one store that's a grocery store that's open 24 hours that I service sometimes at 3:30, 4 in the morning if I pick this route, which I don't anymore. And the reason why is because the first time I ever went to this grocery store, it's by various nightclubs and other things, so a lot of people come in there drunk. Well, the first time I was ever at this store, there was a guy wandering around with a jean jacket on, and he just looked out of it. So I'm working and servicing the store, and I go to the bathroom, and lo and behold, the guy's in the bathroom shooting up heroin. So I'm like, holy crap. So you think, all right, that's bad enough. But the second time I went to the store, I'm sitting there, and I'm stocking the shelves and everything, and two people walk in, and they're half an aisle away, but I can smell the booze wafting off them. And basically, the woman goes to her boyfriend, husband, lover, I don't know, client.
Significant other.
I don't know what the term was, but she basically points at me and says, "Look at this motherfucker working. This poor dumb son of a bitch." And then she goes to her whatever partner was. She's like, "Well, now let's go back home and you give me that dick." And since that moment, that route has been available a few times. I refuse to go back to that store. If there's other routes, I will always take the other route because...
Oh, come on.
This is number three, all right? Mine, all right? So I don't know if you've ever had to see people shoot up heroin in all the restaurants you've worked at.
No, although I have, you know, I mean, as you know, I'll kind of do a two-parter here because they're both being kind of quick. And one will lead into my last story. I used to work for Buffalo Wild Wings. At the time, it was BW3. Go figure. I don't know how many of you knew that little bit of trivia. I started out, I opened up the one in West St. Paul, but was eventually transferred out to the Columbia Heights location. And part of what we had to do there was basically clean house because the management crew was just basically was running amok. I mean, like to the point where like clipboards were in the office that they had done lines of cocaine on and whatnot. So yeah, good times happened there, which I'll get to some more of that later.
No, nice. Cocaine.
Oh yes. Cocaine. It's a hell of a drug. So yeah, so there's that. The other one is, you know, considerably more tamer and kind of more just points towards the stupidity of guests at, you know, restaurants and pretty much everywhere. Cause I don't think it's exclusive to just restaurants. Allergies are obviously a big thing nowadays. I mean, with the whole gluten thing, you can, you know, debate whether or not that's an allergy or not, or whether it's just people trying to be cool. But this one time in particular, a server came back in the kitchen with me and was holding a plate of fish and chips. And she looks at me and she says, "This guy's allergic to fish." And I said, "That's fish and chips." And she said, "Yes, that's what he ordered." And I was like, "Is he a complete idiot?" And she just kind of shrugged. I was like, "Yeah, apparently so." So yes, you know, apparently if you're allergic to fish, you might still be tempted to order fish and chips.
Nice.
So... yeah, people are stupid.
So my number two story is that one of the first jobs I ever had, I worked at White Castle. And I would work night shift, which with night shift, everybody that ever came in was drunk. It was the bar rush. One night, I noticed my person that was working the drive, I was a manager, and the person in the drive-thru comes to me and says, "Hey, there's a car in drive-thru that won't pull up." So I'm like, all right, let's see what's going on here. So I walk out to the car, and not only is the driver passed out drunk, but his passengers passed out drunk, these two guys. So I'm like, all right, well, let's have some fun with these guys. So I rap on the window with my knuckle, and the guy just startles to, And he rolls down his window. I'm like, do you know why I pulled you over? And he's like, oh, we were just sitting here, man, and we just were. And they're just confused. They have no idea. They actually think I'm a police officer. Because White Castle had jackets, and they had, like, sort of a winterized jacket I had on, which kind of looks maybe similar to certain ones that, like, police or law enforcement wear. I was like, son, do you know why I pulled you over? Like, dude, no, seriously, we're fine and everything. I'm just resting my eyes. And it says, we pulled you over because your order's ready at the next window. You need to pull up to that window right there. So the guy's like, just freaks out, and he steps his foot on the gas, and he overshoots the drive-thru, and there's like a little hill that leads down into a car dealership. He almost hopped over the curb into this hill, and... At that point, they basically just drove off, and, you know, it's like, that one time I impersonated a police officer. Now, I thought about also including, like, the time that I had a guy brandish an empty whiskey bottle at me within about a foot range trying to break up a fight in the parking lot, or the time that I tried throwing eggs about over 100 yards across the street at a Embers restaurant, or kicking oil jugs at field goals over the drive-thru. But that one I thought was my favorite White Castle one.
There was also the time, it's not a work story, but the time that you, speaking of impersonating, that you impersonated Rob Zombie was a good time as well.
Yes, there was that time as well, but that's a story for a different time.
Yes, indeed.
All right, what's your number one story?
All right, well, here we go. So yes, Columbia Heights, Buffalo Wild Wings. There was one night, I had a manager that I worked with quite a bit. His name, well, I'll leave his name out of it, even though I don't
remember. Let's call him Terry.
Yes,
unless Terry. That's his real name. If I got that right on the first try, that's amazing. That would be
pretty amazing. His name was not Terry.
All right, not Terry.
I probably could use his real name because I don't remember what his last name was. But yes, Terry, we'll say.
His name's not Terry.
No, not Terry. And I were working one night. It happened to be karaoke night, which I want to say was on Thursday nights. I don't know why I remember that, but I'm pretty sure it was Thursday nights. Some ex-girlfriend of his came in. They must have been still fairly friendly because this wasn't like an animosity type thing. She was, you know, pretty friendly and nice. And I think she was in there with her boyfriend at the time, I want to say, but I could be wrong about that. Over the course of the night, she got fairly intoxicated because, you know, it's a bar and that was, you know, kind of what you did there.
Right.
And towards the end of the night, you know, I think it was after close, must have been after close, got, you know, I don't know, somewhat amorous as she was, you know, intoxicated. And all I remember is, like, her kind of laying on the bar and her boyfriend and possibly her ex-boyfriend, you know, not Terry, you know, rubbing ice cubes on her stomach as she laid on top of the bar. And the karaoke girl was still there. And there was music playing, you know, because I think she was tearing down or whatever. And I think at this point his ex-girlfriend had gotten, like, up and was dancing on the bar or something like that. And the karaoke gal, who was, you know, not an unattractive lady as well, was like, you know, well, I'll maybe get up and get to... dance on the bar if, you know, if some Prince was playing. And there were two people, I don't remember who they were, but you've never seen two people run faster to the jukebox because we did, in fact, have Prince's Greatest Hits on there. And put in a couple songs, and she, in turn, you know, started dancing on the bar and, you know, removed a few articles of clothing. Didn't get completely naked, but was, yes, down to her skivvies, we'll say. And, yeah, that was that night.
It loses points for not getting fully naked.
No, I don't think either one of them got fully naked, but it was, yes, and I'm pretty sure his ex-girlfriend got a little undressed as well, but yeah, Columbia Heights, quality people.
Nice. My last story, I used to be a retail supervisor and manager at a certain retail technology chain that's not Circuit City, but probably the other one. You can probably figure out if you think hard enough.
It's still out there.
Still out there.
Unlike Circuit City.
But sometimes you encounter things like where the store I worked at was, it was surrounded by car dealerships. It wasn't a bad area or neighborhood, but like weird things would happen there from time to time. And one of the things that happened, like in giving a precursor, like one time, like somebody called me to the front entryway because there was a discarded condom in the entryway, as if like a guy who had a condom on, he's like, oh shit, I got a condom on still, and like took it off right there in the drive entryway. The reason that's not my number one story is because doing the thing I do now as a merchandiser, there's been like parking lots I've walked in where like there's just discarded condoms sometimes in certain weird places.
It's commonplace now.
Well, it's just like, oh man, is it a Friday? Like, it reminds me of the Patton Oswalt joke where he talked about like just a weird urban Johnny Appleseed, like, oh, it's Thursday, I gotta throw all my used condoms out in the road. But there's one time that I got called up and somebody says, yeah, we got a problem. And I'm like, what's the problem? And the problem was is that there's this retail store has aisles that lead up to the cash registers. And in these aisles, there was just, like, every several feet or so, shit on the floor. And we're like, wait, what? And there it was. It was, like, shit. I had to go back to the cameras to take a look. And apparently, a guy must have shit his pants. And basically, as he's walking up to, like, leave the store, it's falling out of his pants legs onto the aisle. And, you know, you see him leaving. Now, what makes this worse is this, is that out of all the employees there, in order to handle biohazard material like that, you have to be certified. Guess who is the only person certified to handle biohazard material?
You lucky son of a gun, you.
Yeah, it was just messed up. Just sitting there, just cleaning up and using all these chemicals.
That's when you just like, we're closed for the day, guys, sorry.
Well, and that was the only saving grace, is that it happened near the end of the day. It was like right about 30 minutes before we were going to close, which is both a good and bad thing, because you're like, oh, finally, get to close, get to go home. Nope, sorry, you got to clean up all the poop first before you do that. I mean, think about a guy who's just like looking to buy a computer, and all of a sudden he just craps his pants, like, oh, God, nope.
Yeah.
You know, just incontinent, and then he's just walking, and it's bad enough. It's just ripping down his leg and everything, you know.
And then he had to sit in a car, probably.
Well, I remember once, too, like, it was, like, a year or two earlier, like, I don't know, maybe it was the same guy. Like, there was, like, poopy underwear in the bathroom as if a guy just couldn't make it and then realized, well, got to abandon this underwear, go commando at this point. And
yeah, you'd think I'd have more stories, like, having worked at the Mall of America for the last 12 years, I'd have more stories, like, of crazy things that happened there. One of my co-managers actually kicked Zac Efron out of our bar, but that wasn't me and my story, and I'm not even sure I was there that night, so that's not really my story to tell. But, yeah, work. Work is crazy.
Yeah, it is. So, moving on with this arbitrary episode. So, obviously, you don't know what I'm going to talk about, and vice versa.
No,
so
let's do this.
There is something to discuss, so it's trying to contextualize, I guess, something that's weird. And it's just what I would call irrational fear. Now, when you were younger, did you ever have, like, something that your parents were worried about that didn't make sense as a kid and makes even less sense now? Like a good example of this is, like, when we were kids, remember, like, after Halloween, like, your parents had to inspect the Halloween candy because, like, oh, no, somebody might have put a syringe in there or a razor blade or some other stuff.
We do that when our kids come home with Halloween candy.
But the thing is that never happened.
Yes, that's a big urban legend.
It's a huge urban legend, but because of, like, this one weird circumstance, now everybody has this weird irrational fear that there's this. Or, like, there's always, like, rational fears, like, never get into a van of a stranger if he offers you candy. And so, did you ever have anything like that when you were younger?
My parents didn't really, they were really afraid of a lot of things, I don't think. I mean, I'm sure there were, but, you know, not something that they ever led over to us. There was a lot of things, like, my parents weren't big on, like violence. Like, toy guns were never a thing, you know, like water guns or whatever, you know, cap guns. You know, things like wrestling, like World War, you know, WWF, you know, was never something we'd be able to watch just because it's a bunch of people running, you know, even though it's pretty comical violence, it's still, you know, basically a bunch of guys fighting. So, I mean, you know, they always kind of shielded us from that sort of stuff. I can't think of anything, you know, that they're, you know, like a fear per se, you know. I mean, I could ask my sisters, my brother, they'd maybe be like, oh, how could you forget that they, you know, wouldn't let us do this. I mean, cause I remember, you know, we grew up in the days, like, you know, we'd get home from school and we'd run out and we'd just, you know, run around the neighborhood recklessly, which I can't even imagine letting our kids do.
Right, because one of the common things that you hear now is, like, in the old days, yeah, if you wanted to go to the park, you went to the park. Now, if I were to send my kid to the park, like, well, who's supervising your kid? Nobody supervised my kid. What if they get abducted? Yeah. What if this happens? Like, well, no, that's what.
We've just the last 2 days, our kids have gone to a park that's 2 blocks from our house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unescorted, you know, we let our, you know, their older cousin has a cell phone. We've told him, you know, we'll bring that with in case you need to call one of us or whatever. You know, but I mean, they're 8, you know, our kids are 8 and 10, their cousin's 13.
The reason I address this is it's kind of this weird overprotective society that we've become in some ways when it comes to some things.
Yeah.
Now, here's where the flip side of it is that, so we sit there, we often worry about like all these little things that are kids, but we as adults have this weird, we're, I don't know what the best way to, I don't want to use the word ignorant, but it's like we worry about some things, but we don't worry about other things. So the what I'm leading up to right now is this, is that like a week ago, one of the biggest things that was like, you know, like a 1 or 2 day craze on Facebook was everybody was using this app called FaceApp.
Yes.
To see, hey, what does an elderly version of me look like?
Yeah.
And everybody was posting it on social media, like, look at me, I'm old.
Yeah.
And then you had sarcastic, cynical people like me, which were posting, like, I was just, as a goof, posted a picture of Edward James Olmos, like, oh, no, I'm old. But then, you know, the funny thing is this, is that, and this is what everybody always is weird about, is that then the problem is, and then it's like, well, wait, the company that owns this is a Russian company. Odds are they're mining your data for their own purposes itself. Now you have your cynical people that sit there and say, well, Facebook is already mining all your data, so they are already exploiting you. But it's weird because we often sit there and tell our kids not to do anything. But I always feel like one of the greatest weird dangers in our society today is adults are just dumb as hell when it comes to technology.
Yeah. Yeah, I would disagree with that. And, I didn't get into that whole FaceApp thing just because, I don't know, I just didn't for whatever reason. But, yeah, I mean, people are willing to, I mean, you know, like I think if you're on Instagram, I mean, don't you basically sign, you know, if Facebook, you know, who owns Instagram, decides they want to use your picture for advertising, I think they're, you know, I think that's part of the NDA, or not the NDA, the, what's that, the big long thing that nobody reads?
Non-disclosure agreements. Terms of agreement.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
Right, sorry.
The end user agreement, whatever.
End user agreement, yeah. Where they could have, like, dialogue terms in there, like, if you decide to use our app, we can take your, like, spleen. And say, like, holy crap, I do not want to lose my spleen
The weird thing, like, I remember there was a story I'd seen, like, last year, the year before, where somebody, I think it was, like, an insurance company, had put in their end user agreement, like, you know, if you've read this far and, you know, get in touch with us, you get $10,000. And some lady who, like, actually reads through all these things, like, you know, I forget how long it had been in there. It had been in there for, like, a couple months. And she actually found it that, you know, hey, here's this thing in their end user agreement that says I get $10,000 if I find this. And sure enough, she did.
But, I mean, nobody ever reads anything, though, either.
No, nobody... they don't. And I'm just as bad with a lot of that. Like, with those, you know, like, if you want to play this video game, click agree to our terms. It's like, okay, here,
and it's this giant, like, 17-paragraph thing, and everybody clicks through. It reminds me, there was a South Park episode where they made fun of Apple's term of agreement, where they basically made it where, yeah, Apple can now turn you into the human centipede at this point.
Yeah.
But it's just weird, like, how... we're so, like, overprotective, like, the stranger's going to get your kids and throw them in a car and everything because of that one time it happened at one place. But then, like, it's like, yeah, I don't care what I do with any of my digital information. Like, the early days of the internet were kind of just weird Wild West days, because the funny thing when the early days of internet was, is, like, you get that weird email that was like,
yeah,
hey, hey,
Prince
there.
Of Nairobi how, is,
well, know, not yeah. even that the Prince one. That's like the obvious scam, but you see an email from like Jane, and you don't know Jane. And then there's like, hey, been meaning to talk to you. And then like, well, what's Jane want? But here's the thing, you don't know what Jane. You open it up and like, oh, I just open up an attachment and there's now a virus on my computer. And
yeah.
One thing that doesn't happen as much anymore either, but the same sort of thing, like, people's emails always used to get hacked, and, like, they get their contact lists, and everybody would get all those crappy emails spreading just spam and stuff.
Well, it kind of makes you wonder, like, you hear about all these companies getting hacked about, you know, like, when Target gets hacked, or this credit card company gets hacked, and they get all this information, but then, I mean, how much of that, I mean, you don't really see a whole lot. I mean, I suppose some people get there, you know, I mean, we had a couple year where, you know, like, twice our credit card, and we had to change our credit card because somebody had gotten it, you know, and did whatever. But, I mean, for as many times they're like, you know, 10 million people got hacked and 500 million people in this or whatever, you'd think you'd see a lot more ramifications of these big, huge hacks that happen. But it just seems like it happens, and then, you know, it's like nothing, you know, for the most part.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is, like, people are, you know, easily amused people where people have gotten smarter. I'm not saying that people are as gullible as they were on the internet, let's say, 10, 15 years ago. But then every now and then you have something happen and where, like, which Harry Potter character are you? And then you take this quiz. But the reason they're doing that is because they just want your information.
Like every time you use an app to sign into Facebook, if you click on the thing that shows what they get, it's like they get your address, your name, your birthday, your contact list, you're this, you're that. And it's like, good Lord,
I just want to know what Harry Potter character I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, I'm Ron.
I don't know who I would be. I'd probably be Ron too. I don't know.
You have those like quizzes, like which so and so are you? And the problem is when you're taking those dumb quizzes too, like you know what the answer is going to be and everything.
Oh yeah.
It's like, well, I'm a dashing person. You're basically trying to like, what Star Wars character am I? I'm trying to be Han Solo. What would Han Solo do when you're faced with trouble? Are you a smuggler or like,
do you rush in headlong first or do you take the cautious approach?
Are you very hairy and like, oh, I don't want to be a Wookiee, but it's just that weird part of phase, and especially it's funny because like everybody's paranoid, like, oh, somebody's going to exploit my information, but then they actively and willingly use things that exploit their information. So
yeah.
where's the panic coming to play at this point? So
well, I think what's interesting is, you know, as we get these things like, you know, the Russians and whatnot, and they're trying to manipulate the, you know, that's the new big thing. And, you know, well, not so new because it's been a few years now. Did they manipulate our, you know, the last election? You know, will they do the same thing before? And I think that's the thing, is that I think when these things happen, it's going to be much more covert, I think. You know, when they get this information, like, you know, when they get these hacks, you know, maybe they're, you know, they're not going to be so blatant as to just, you know, hey, we're going to go buy a bunch of tennis shoes and resell them and get money. I think they're going to do something much more diabolical that, you know, like, you know, somehow, you know, something we can't see coming, because if it's, you know, something obvious, obviously, isn't going to work very well.
Maybe a better way to put it is this, is that I think the great thing about the internet is you have amazing access to information. The worst thing about the internet is you have an amazing access to information, yeah, and it's harder to verify what's real and what isn't. Like the old days, like as an example, like the whole like, hey, I found like, you know, a razor blade in my candy. If there was the internet back then, the funny thing is that it'd actually probably be a much worse situation than what it probably was back, you know, then in the day.
Because, oh, yeah.
Because back then you'd have like 19 million people sharing this, you better watch out for your candy. And then somebody would like, well, then they would post the Snopes article. Like, no, if you take a look at Snopes here, it was not actually.
Well, it's like that Momo thing from a few months back, where there's this whole thing where it's like, you know, there's this video on YouTube, it'll pop up, and then Momo comes up and they tell your kid to kill themselves or whatever, and that ended up being a hoax of, you know, something that wasn't really actually happening, or at least not as badly as people were saying. You know, I mean, so these things are out there. It's just, who knows who's putting them out there.
I think maybe the better way to put it is there's so many ridiculous things out there. Now it's harder to discern, is it real or not? And now it's just what people glom onto. Now it's whatever everybody's like own personal fear is, there's something out there for you where it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like, oh, my God, you know, my biggest fear is my children to be abducted. So you read that story that, hey, if your kid goes to, like, Disney.com and finds a secret, like, link and hits it,
yeah,
then, like, the government comes and takes your kid. And then, like,
well, I think the problem is a couple of these things almost feed into each other. Because, I mean, you get, like, these websites that put these clickbaity headlines out there that are just super inflammatory because they want people to click on them. And then you get people that see those headlines and don't bother to read the actual article. And they're like, oh, my God, this headline said this. And, oh, my God, I'm so mad at this. And then somebody else comes along and was like, but did you read the actual article? Because none of that was actually in the actual article. The article actually just said this and this. Or,
right,
you know, or it's a much more lower key thing than the headline had you say, you know. But people just, they see that quick 10-second headline that they read, and they freak out without actually doing any of their own actual research. You know, like, you'll see people post those, you know, Marlboro's giving away 10 free cartons of cigarettes. All you have to do is click on this link. And you're like, no, they're not. Like, how are you people falling for this stuff? Like, you know, that should be pretty obvious that that's not a thing.
My most hated, like, Facebook thing I think I would see is, like, there's always, like, somebody that I know that I'll share a link for, like, Shady Rays, which is, like, a generic, like, you know, sunglass thing, and like, or but they like, it's like, or like, you could get Ray-Bans for $20 and like tags, yeah, like 20 people, and like, you dumb shit. Things are like spreading all that dumbness around because they're probably Chinese knockoffs or some, yeah, imposter knockoffs.
Well,
or
the people that that post, you know, every 6 months or so it seems to come around where people start putting up those Facebook update statuses. They're like, I post this, and Facebook doesn't have any rights. Like, no. That's not how things work.
Right.
Like,
you can post whatever you want on Facebook. As long as you said yes to their term of agreements, all your crap is dumb. And it doesn't mean anything.
They can kill your account for whatever reason, use your status updates and pictures for whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, that's why I just try to think about, like, what the world's going to be like in, like, a few years. Because at this point, everybody's level of distrust is at such a weird discord. And digital information, how things go about, that's why it's like, I think about, like, the urban tales that we were supposed to be scared about as kids. And now I think about, like, what we go through right now. It's so much more obnoxious because you have the tools almost to do the research. Unless you're like that guy that goes like page 15 on Google, like, see this article right here? This is what Google doesn't want you to know. If you go on this page right here, that's where your information.
They're scrubbing their results, man.
Right. Well, so yeah, that was just something that's just weird phenomenon that I saw over the past week. And I'm just sitting there like, no. And it's always a horrible dumb fad of some sort, too. Well,
do 2 minutes of research, people. It's not that terribly hard. You know, if you don't trust Snopes, then go somewhere else. There's plenty of other places you can check out.
So I read an article today, and this kind of stuck out with me. So you're getting a new job right now.
I am.
You're starting next week.
Yes, a week from today.
I'm looking for a new job. But, you know, there's a job out there that they consider like a side hustle kind of job, something you do on the side itself. How would you like to be paid $400 to $500 a session to be a professional dungeon master?
That would be good times. I don't know that my dungeon master abilities would warrant $400 to $500 a session, but...
Right, because you know nothing about the game practically at this point. No. I was reading about that, and the... Funny thing is, I've been trying to get into Dungeons & Dragons over the past couple of years or so. And there's a regular group that now I've found over the past couple of months. And I've even, with you and, you know, a few other people have started something.
And now that I've had some free time, I'm debating what's starting my own.
And the hard thing with, like, you know, Dungeons & Dragons is this, is that basically for those that are uninitiated, there's a, you know... several people, but one of the people is what's considered the dungeon master. They're the person that narrates the game, controls all the characters that aren't the main characters itself. Basically, you're a professional storyteller at that point, as well as a referee of rules. And they're like, I remember like several months ago, remember seeing that ad for like Airbnb or D&D B&B as an example.
Yes.
That would be like an example of a professional dungeon master where there's a company out there where if you want to have like a whole weekend of just Dungeons and Dragons, you pay basically this company like a lot of money. You stay at this place, they cater it, and then they tailor a Dungeons and Dragons adventure for you for itself. Now, part of me sits there and thinks about this and it's like, you know what? That's cool. And I see people, there's like on Facebook, which they use my information to exploit me with, but there's like Dungeons and Dragons groups out there, and you see people looking for like groups to join, because that's a problem, I think, is that...
But like a lot of times also, we've got a local Twin City Geeks one. It's usually somebody who's like just moved into town, like, hey, I just moved here from this place, you know, where can I find a D&D game to join up with, or who wants to start one or something.
Right. And it's just an interesting phenomenon right there, because you look at that, like, if that was, like, 15, 20 years ago, you would just be laughed at and mocked and everything. And now it's become this acceptable thing because of such things such as Critical Role, and because of, like, Nerd Poker and all these millions of others of Dungeons & Dragons podcasts now.
Yeah, Dungeons & Dragons has never been as big as it is now.
Right.
I was just listening to a podcast where they're interviewing a guy who's written some books for D&D, and he was... you know, kind of telling stories about like his experience, and he kind of said the same thing. He's like, it's so huge now that it's not this thing that just a couple people do and, you know, hide in a basement and do it. You know, this is something that, you know, a lot of people do, you know, and are into it. It's a lot more culturally accepted now than it was, you know, like when we were kids.
Well, let me ask this question. Is there such a thing as geek culture anymore? And then the reason I say that is this is because one of the number one, now as of like a few days ago, the number one movie of all time now in terms of box office sales with adjusted and everything is Avengers Endgame.
Yes.
One of the most watched shows over the past few years has been Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Walking Dead.
You look at some of the most popular movies and, you know, it's Star Wars. It's all these superhero movies.
Yeah, and
now,
that's what I've always found interesting is that, you know, and to answer your question, yes, I think geek culture is still a thing.
But now
I think it's just a lot more mainstream now than it used to be. I mean, it's been you know, probably the last 10 years or so, 10, 15 years, it's become a lot more mainstream. But I think even before that, I mean, Star Wars has always been in those, you know, that top 10 list. You know, X-Men, I think, was there for a little bit when it came out. You know, Spider-Man. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, I mean, a lot of those movies in that top 10, you know, top 10, you know, a lot of TV shows that are popular are all geek-based. You know, I think we kind of touched on that a while ago in our comic book episode where we talked about, like, this is stuff that a lot of people are interested in. They just aren't interested in going back to the source material. You know, they're fine with watching the TV shows, playing the video games, watching the movies, but they don't really have as much interest in going back and seeing, like, you know, hey, I liked this movie. Maybe I should go check out a comic book or something. I think that's where the disconnect is.
And I think you still have that hardcore subsect of nerds and geeks where they're like, well, we were the originals, and you guys were all tourists and everything, and we don't like the fact we were here from the start. And, you know, that's the hard thing right there, is that we should be happy. Like, right now, the fact that our last episode we just recorded for the podcast, we're talking about Marvel's new phase of all their movies, and how, like, now several new Marvel movies... All of this is possible because everybody's watching it.
Yeah.
So if, like, somebody's like, oh, I hate how they keep making all these people keep watching these movies. No, that's why they keep getting made. And you should be happy that something you enjoy and have a passion for is now getting...
And that's what I don't get, is that we get these gatekeepers in geek culture now for some reason that seem to want to keep people out and want to shun people away. And it's like... You know, I mean, when we were growing up, like, being geeks was, like, it was not something you told everybody. It was something you kind of kept close to the vest, and you didn't, you know, let out because, you know, you'd be ridiculed, you'd be bullied, you'd be, you know, whatever. So I think it's kind of insane now that people that went through that now are kind of doing that now that geek culture is kind of this big popular thing. They're almost, like, lashing out at people, like, you know, that, you know, they've experienced this bullying, this behavior, and now they're doing it to other people that are trying to, you know, like, get in on it. It just boggles my mind that, you know, hey, this thing that I love and other people are trying to love, no, you can't like it. It's like, that, why, that doesn't make any sense. Like,
so, you know, and bringing that full circle, the fact that somebody can sit there and advertise and say, hey, if you pay me $500 for a 3 to 4 hour session, you know, I will DM, you know, your thing. And there's people out there, because there's so many people who want to get into it. It almost feels like it's given a good entryway to casual people to get into it, which is great. You just, the problem that I've always experienced too when it comes to Dungeons and Dragons and when it comes to Dungeon Masters in general, the some that I've encountered, is that it takes a certain person to want to be a Dungeon Master. And usually those people are either control freaks that want to have everything go their way and don't care about the story, or they only care about the story that they have, not the other people's experience. Yeah.
And I think, too, I think when you look, I mean, if you, you know, so say you've got something like that set up. You've got, like, somebody who's willing to DM a night for $400. Like, for $400, I'll come and I'll DM. You'll have an amazing experience. If you've got four or five people that are willing to do that, I mean, that's, you know, $75 to $100 each for a night. I mean, that's, you know, that's not really all that insane. Or not even night. It'd probably be more like an afternoon into the evening.
Well, imagine, like, a comparison here. If I were to go to a baseball game, I'm spending $30-$40 a ticket.
Yeah.
I'm spending at least $12 a beer, the way beer is going in baseball games.
$20 on parking, that's, possibly.
Right. So you're paying almost an equivalent right there just for one night of entertainment.
Yeah, or if you do a concert, you know, you're paying $50 to $100 for a ticket, depending on where you're sitting, plus parking, plus beer, plus whatever, you know what I mean? So I think it's... If you know you're going to be getting a quality night of, you know, like, DMing and a good experience out of it, you know, and you can split it between four or five people, then, you know, it's really not that ludicrous. I mean, I think it's something that hasn't really been around up until now, maybe. But, I mean, you know, if you've got somebody who knows what they're doing and they can, you know, show you a good time, then, you know... Then why not?
Great. So now there's, like, a seedy underbelly where you got, like, Dungeon Master pimps where you... You're sitting
there. I got this one DM. He's great.
You're basically behind, like, have a guy that's taken out, like, at the side of a Games by James and everything, like, looking for a DM.
Yeah.
It's like, my DM can give you the best time possible. And it's like, all right, well, let's talk about Dungeon
Dragons. You want Dungeon Dragons, Pathfinder? I got it all.
I don't know, man. Is your DM clean? It's like, no, actually, he's a pretty smelly guy.
He likes to break the rules. Ooh, that's the kind I like.
Do I have to, like, use protection? I'm like, yeah, use all the wards you can.
Circle of protection, baby.
Good old that.
Yeah.
So, another weird story. So, Aerosmith, they were playing a concert festival at one of our casinos in our area.
Just to show how nerdy I am, my mind immediately went to Aerosmith the comic book, but carry on.
All right, fair enough. So, there was a situation where... And what's your thoughts on Aerosmith in general?
They had their day. That day is certainly not now, but I mean they're not bad. They're not my favorite, but they're, you know.
I consider Aerosmith as a used to be like this kind of edgier band back in the 70s when they were more heavily into drug use.
Yeah.
And they had some good songs from back then. But in the 80s, they kind of evolved and became like the McDonald's of like hard rock, pretty much, where it's
They just didn't evolve as much. I mean, not evolve, they just kind of...
They polished themselves so much that you have a band now that you can listen to, but it's like it feels over-manufactured in some ways. It's like they write the safest rock songs in the world at this point, and... Can you still? It's almost not even whether their songs are rock anymore. It's like they write pop songs that sound like rock songs.
Yes, that have a little bit heavier guitar in them.
Exactly. So they were supposed to play at a concert festival over this past weekend in a casino around here. And then I guess an hour before the show, Steven Tyler was threatening not to go on the stage or do the show. Now, why do you think that is?
I'm going to guess there was something small that was wrong and he did not care, you know, like there were no green M&Ms in the bowl or something. I don't know.
So his issue was this, is that the concert had VIP seating that was at the front of the stage. If you paid several hundred dollars, you got to be at the front of the stage itself. Steven Tyler, which is odd because he brings this up only an hour before the concert itself. I'm sure it had been probably addressed to either his management or his people beforehand.
Yeah, somebody knew about it.
But it basically says, but I don't like that. I'd rather see everybody up in front. I have a big crowd of people up front instead of just people in seats. Because I guess he doesn't like exclusivity of people being up front. So he goes to the promoter and says that he's not going to do it unless they get rid of the VIP sitting. So this guy has to go out and basically explain to the crowd that, hey, you people need to give up your seats, otherwise the concert's not going to happen. Now, his point he brought to the news is that, you know, the problem is that it's these seats that help pay to bring Aerosmith in to do the concert itself. So they had people trying to fight him, like, I want my money, which I'm sure most of these people are getting a refund of some sort and everything at this point. But, you know, that seemed like one of the most... I haven't seen, like, a rock star move like that in God knows how long.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, you used to... I mean, back in the 90s especially, there were quite a few stories of different, you know, usually heavy metal bands.
Usually Axl Rose. You know,
yes, usually Axl Rose, let's be fair. Pulling some kind of stunt like that. Like, didn't he refuse to go on stage in Toronto during the Metallica Guns N' Roses tour and caused a riot or something?
Yeah, because it was Montreal.
Yeah.
He didn't go on stage after James Hetfield had a pyro burn his arm off and they cut the stage short because, my voice isn't doing too well right now, guys. I might have to come out to this concert. And I remember they were like, you know, all he had to do to be the hero was this. He just had to go on, sing some songs.
Go on stage for a little bit, call it good, but no.
He went off the stage and poked the bear.
Yes, and the bear bit back.
I don't know.
But yeah, you don't generally see rock stars throwing those prima donna things as much as you used to, or the, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, to be fair, I wouldn't say that's as much of a prima donna thing. I think that's more somebody didn't communicate something, you know, like you said, his manager or somebody didn't, you know, made a call, didn't let them know about it. He found out about it because, you know, I mean, I can kind of see that, you know, I don't want these people, you know, like I know I was reading something the other day that Billy Joel will, like, he'll take the first row of seats and he'll give them to, like, people who aren't, you know, he won't sell them, basically. He takes them, he gives them to other people, disperses them in other ways, because he doesn't want people who bought their way to the front row to be there. He wants, like, actual true fans to be there. So I can kind of see that.
But how does he gauge and judge that, though?
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, and I'm sure that's not a foolproof way to do it. But basically, he doesn't want to sell those seats for $500 because then only rich people can get them. You know, and he, you know, he, I'm sure he has some way he distributes them, but
how wild do you get at a Billy Joel concert, too? That, man, when you're up in that front area,
yeah, those
you want to know, and everybody's like, yeah, he's doing the song, dude, Piano Man, so dude, we didn't start the fire.
So I mean, you know, I mean, I'll give it to him that I can kind of see his point, but at the same time, you know, somebody probably should have had that conversation with him before, an hour before the show.
We talked about this our last Arbitrary episode about the fact that Weezer was playing a casino. Let's maybe address the fact that Aerosmith is playing a casino, and yet it's an actual festival concert of some sort itself, but is Aerosmith right now, like, I Google a picture of what Aerosmith looks like right now. It is terrifying.
Well, I imagine. They're not young.
It's not even that. Like, most of them have, like, weird mustaches now. Like, all of a sudden, they, like, they want to be part of the cast of Deadwood. And it's like, let's get mustaches. And then, like,
we need to look like hipsters so we can get the new young crowd.
Yeah, you're looking it up right now. Come on.
I'm trying, but the connection down here is crappy.
I should probably connect it to my Wi-Fi.
That would be the smart thing to do, but...
Should, but...
Yeah, it's not working for me.
Worried about porn at this point. Damn with it. You. Well, here, hang on a second here. Let me pull up... Aerosmith!
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they haven't really... What was the last... Was it, what, the Apocalypse? Was it Apocalypse? Was that the one with Bruce Willis?
No.
What was that one called?
Armageddon.
Was that the last time that Aerosmith was relevant? I don't think they've had anything since then that I can think of. I mean, the 90s, they had a little few things going on. But, you know, again, like you said, it was kind of that polished, you know, very easygoing rock and roll type thing. But, I mean, you know, you play where you play, I suppose. I mean, it's kind of like Styx, I'm sure, back in the 90s and early 2000s. We're playing a lot of casinos and Journey and whoever the hell else.
Now, here's a picture, and I don't think it really fully conveys. No, because I need one of Steven Tyler with a mustache.
I mean, he's looked creepy for, you know, like 20 years anyway, even without a mustache. He's just, you know, he just looks weird.
Well, I think that's always the hard thing, is like when you got, like, rock bands that, like, we got to do whatever we can to seem, like, young and relevant, and then, like, they grow weird facial hair or art styles, and then it's like, ugh, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, take a look at this picture right here. Hang on.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Talking to the mic.
That's some nice handlebar mustache going on there.
It's like, we'll grow a bunch of mustaches, and you see, like, the gray, but you know they're dyeing the rest of their hair
at that point.
And
yeah, yeah. Well, you know, do what you gotta do, I suppose, to keep those millions rolling in. People will pay the price. I'm not one of those people.
Well, that's why I'm, like, surprised that Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger still performs. Like, you look at, like, how much energy Mick Jagger has, and you still think, man, how much blow does that guy do before a performance to be able to move like that?
Over a lot of prescription drugs that are probably not so prescription-y.
I mean, he's, like, late 70s at this point, if I remember correctly, and...
Yeah, none of those guys. Yeah, it's kind of a miracle in and of itself that Keith Richards is still with us.
Yeah, I think the drugs preserve him.
Probably at this point, yes. If you were to stop doing drugs, it would probably be a bad thing, because he would just probably turn to dust and blow away in the wind.
No, he wouldn't.
Sure he would. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. And that's also, I think, the weird thing, too, is, like, you look at, like, I think, and I hate saying this, because I don't advocate the usage of drugs or alcohol as a recreation to excess, but...
Be good, kids.
You ever think, like, man... That's how you know Aerosmith isn't good, because they're still alive and they haven't lost any band members yet. Like, every band at this point from, like, that period of time has at least lost one or two guys because of either booze or drugs. And
yeah, they managed to keep their people, and they hit it pretty hard back in the day. Good for you, Aerosmith. Way to dodge a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Nice work.
I'm bringing up topics. What do you got?
I don't know. I don't have a whole lot. I'm just relaxing this week.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, is that, you know, this is like your first week off, like full week off, and how long?
In quite a while. I think it was, well, a year ago when we went to Yellowstone and all that stuff out west, you know, Mount Rushmore and all that. But it's the first time I've had like a week off where I haven't had like 1,000 things planned.
That's not what a vacation is. I always hate where, like, what'd you do with your vacation? Like, nothing. Well, that's a waste of vacation. Like, no.
Because no, I think that's just as valid, I think.
There's some vacations that I've had where the vacation itself is just as tiring when you get home.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
It's like, man, I just need a vacation.
I always like what I call, like, a day. Like, I don't like doing, like, okay, like, when we did Yellowstone, all that, like, you know, I don't remember how it worked then, but, you know, like, come home Sunday, go to work on Monday. I always like to have what I call the vacation from the vacation, where you have, like, at least a day buffer in between two, you know, so like you get home Sunday, you're off Monday, and then you go back to work on Tuesday or something, is, you know, just so you have at least a day to unwind, sit around and do not a damn thing, you know, and whatever. But because yeah, that can get you, because yeah, sometimes those vacations can be just as tiring or more so than the work that you're escaping from. But yeah, no, going into the new job, I mean, this will be the first time, I mean, restaurants for 26 years that I've ever had weekends off on a regular. I'm not going to know what the hell to do with myself.
Join a cult?
Maybe. Maybe I'll start a cult. That might be good times. Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be a nice little change.
Yeah.
I've been working weekends pretty much nonstop since I was 17 years old.
Would you say that you've been working for the weekend?
Working for the weekend and taking what they're giving or something?
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah.
Or what about...
Workout.
Oh, we're confusing two songs. Was I trying to quote Loverboy and...
Maybe? I don't know.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Oh, yeah, I think we were, and I was doing a...
You were doing a...
band from The Simpsons. It's the only time I can ever think of them.
Taking care of business.
Yeah, taking care of business. Right,
you were doing taking care of business.
Get to the taking care of business part! The Simpsons.
Hi, we're a band. Well, I was talking to a coworker.
Men at Work. There we go.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Men at Work.
No? No. Oh, they were the Money for Nothing.
Right. No, they weren't even them either.
Wasn't it?
No, Men at Work, they were the Safety Dance, weren't they?
No, that's Men with Hats.
Yeah, Men with Hats. Men at Work.
I think I might have been right with the Men at Work. Because, yeah, Dire Straits was Money for Nothing. Right. We're old. We can't remember things.
I'm just getting it all confused.
Yeah.
I was talking to a coworker because he had tickets to the upcoming Iron Maiden concert. We were talking about how, because me and you went to Iron Maiden when they came to town last time. We were disappointed. Like, they were playing like six to eight songs off their new album. And
yeah.
They really didn't play much. And now they're having their greatest hits tour where, guess what? We're coming back. We're going to play the songs you want. They shared what the playlist was. And they're only playing 16 songs. And I looked at the playlist.
Interesting.
Well, they're old, man. I mean, they are. I think they only played like 13, 14 songs at the concert we went to. It's just they had their stage show and all their other stuff. They kind of pads it out. But I sat there and thought about that, you know. And yeah, to your point about, God, man, now that's just going to drive. Who's saying taking care of business? God damn it.
Tony, Men at Work.
It's not Men at Work.
Google it. You're connected to the Wi-Fi.
It's not taking care of business. It's ELO, isn't it?
No, it's not Electric Light Orchestra.
No, who is it?
Good podcasting here, boys and girls. Amazon with your Audible? Come on, you want some of this. This is good stuff here.
No, it wasn't ELO. I was thinking BTO, Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Is that who it is?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. It was some letters.
It was some letters.
Some combination of letters and vowels and consonants and stuff.
And the problem is this doesn't even pay off at all. It's like, all right, now we know who's saying the song. And we were just doing it to try to figure out what Homer Simpson was referencing when...
That was kind of like, you probably don't remember, but it was years ago. We were at my house for some reason. I don't think you were living there anymore. Or maybe you weren't living there yet. Maybe it might have been that long ago.
Were you married or not married?
I don't remember. But you were there for something, but at some point you left... Because before you left, we were talking about the members of Wham, and we both remember George Michael, and the other guy's name was at the tip of our tongue the entire time, and like 2 minutes after you left, I remembered that guy's name, and I called you up, and I went, Andrew Ridgely! And you were like, yeah! Like, neither, you know, this must have been like before the internet was a huge thing, because I don't know why we didn't just Google it. you know, the internet must have been around, but maybe we just didn't think
too well, or something. Well, those days would have been around 04, 05.
Yeah, probably.
That's where the internet was there, but it wasn't as reliable. There wasn't a Wikipedia
that you know, it wasn't on your smartphone. You know, that was before smartphones were really a thing. But that was another one. It's like, yeah, like, knowing who Andrew originally is didn't really help anything, but it was kind of one of those things, like, it's just kind of at the tip of your tongue, like, God dang, it's going to drive me crazy for the next 2 hours. And then, like, yeah, like, sure enough, like, 2 minutes after you left the house, I was like, oh, yeah, it's Andrew Ridgely. And, yeah, now everybody else knows. George Michael and Andrew Ridgely, take me home before you go-go. Yeah.
Or, yeah, because I want to do the jitterbug and...
Do the jitterbug. Yes, quality entertainment here, folks.
The 80s were really just weirdly distinct when it came to some of that music. Like, you listen to songs from the 80s, and you're like, yeah, that was definitely 80s music.
Oh, yes. I feel the 90s, like, pretty much every decade. I think the 2000s kind of start to get a little bit more nebulous.
I would say it's the middle of the 90s is when things got a little bit more broad, because I think once you got past grunge and then it just became alternative music, then it's like, even like rap music at that time was, anything could be rap music, and people were willing to go to war to that. And
yeah, pretty much. East Coast, West Coast, baby. West Side.
Man, that's that's some white-ass shit right there.
Damn Skippy.
Once again, though, that's just a weird thing. It's like, now there's, like, current kids, and there's, like, all those, like, you know, old heads out there that are, like, talking to, like, you know, the young kids and everything. You guys don't know what rap was like in the day with rap and everything. There used to be a war, East Coast, West Coast, and the kid's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Grandpa? They're like, it was some serious shit. They killed Tupac.
Yep, and Biggie.
Yep, and others. There was, like, others out there, and...
I did just see a meme that, like, that said something about, like, it was with Tupac and Biggie and this whole storming of Area 51 thing, and that's where Tupac and Biggie were, so I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, what the fuck is going on with...
That's a whole other thing, is, yes, yeah, this whole, let's storm Area 51.
Yeah, what the fuck is going on with that?
I feel, so it's, so the, whatever page it is, or whatever the event is, has however many, like, 1.5 million people, you know, quote-unquote, attending. I feel like most of those people are just there to, like, watch the shit show of, like, memes and whatever else. I feel like, however, there's going to be some people that actually show up because they're just stupid and, you know, and it's like, how did it start is kind of what I want. Like, who's the first person? Like, somebody had to think, whether it was a joke or not, like, that's the other thing, is was this person who first started this serious, or were they like, you know, hey, let's put this out there and see what happens. It'll be freaking hilarious. And they were right, if that's what they were thinking.
There's, like, some guy that's, like, in a basement in Nebraska writing a manifesto. And
yeah.
It's like, Area 51 must be finally exposed for what it is. The way we'll get in is we're going to Naruto run our way into the goddamn place.
Yeah, we're going to tell them what day we're going to be there, and we're all going to show up, and they're not going to be ready at all, and we're just going to take over the place by sheer numbers because they don't have any training of dealing with large crowds of people at all, and... Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at it seriously, like, okay, let's pretend this is a serious thing that people are actually going to do. Like, okay, first, do you really think that's it? I mean, did you not see Independence Day? Area 51 is, you know, red herring. All the cool stuff is somewhere else. You know, I'm sure there's some fun stuff there. There's probably some funky airplane that's experimental, but there's no aliens there. You know, they're in friggin' Wisconsin, for all we know. Who knows? You know, B, you've literally told them what day and time you're going to be there, and, you know, they're probably going to be ready for you, you know. C, this is, you know, the U.S. military, which, you know, love them or hate them, they're, you know, they're fairly competent at their jobs, you know, especially when dealing with a bunch of hicks who just want to, like, run into their complex and take over and don't really know what they're doing. I'm pretty sure they can handle that. It just, yeah, it boggles the mind.
And yeah, you just don't know what the end game is. Once they get in there, it's like, hey, we're here. And it almost like in the 80s, you use an amazingly outdated reference is when in like Geraldo Rivera went into Al Capone's vault. And he's like, there was this whole special, and
oh, yeah,
there could be money in there. There could be drugs. There could be corpses. They open it up, and there was like nothing in there. And he's like,
empty.
He's like, eh. So. No,
sorry, guys. Yeah, it's going to be very much like that.
Wouldn't I just be dumb? That's like, I can see Trump doing something like that, where he creates like a Facebook group, like, we're going to bomb Iran, and I'm going to create a Facebook group, and I'm going to invite all the military.
I could almost sadly see him, like, and, you know, to risk getting political here, like, see him getting behind this thing, like, yeah, go, let's go in there and find it. It's like, you're the president, you should know what's in there, like, you know. But I could totally see him, like, getting behind this group, like, you know, like, the government should not be hiding things from the people. Go take over Area 51. It's like, wait.
But what's his financial gain for that? That's only if there was financial gain.
Yeah, yeah, very so.
What do you think they're going to do with all the bodies of everybody they kill?
I don't know. Turn them into alien hybrids, maybe?
Nah. That was always the dumb thing about Independence Day was two things here. One, everybody always gives Will Smith credit, but technically you should give a lot of credit to Jeff, you know, Goldblum. Until you realize that the alien technology was that simple enough that you could hack in there with a goddamn MacBook.
Yeah. Yeah. Stupid aliens.
It's like, you know,
get a better firewall.
All because, like, Jeff Bridges got drunk. It's like, oh, it's easy. We got to give him a virus. And it's like, what? We'll make him sick. We'll give him a virus, and that's how we'll take down the aliens. And
yeah.
That's why, like, even the one of the weirder parts about that whole movie itself, I haven't seen the sequel that came out a year or two ago. But
neither have I.
It was like, all right, we finally took down all the shields. And then even them, they realized, oh, yeah, there's still giant, bulky alien spaceships with a bunch of laser fighters that shoot lasers. We still can't take it down.
Yeah.
Until, like, Randy Quaid's like, I'm going to go and fly all the way up into the main gun. And yeah. Then, like, when he does that and destroys the mothership, Bill Pullman's like, we did it. We found a way to take him down. Spread the word. What if the aliens didn't deploy that weapon? Like, oh, hey, man, if we do this, it's going to cause a chain reaction. Let's just stick to the fighters. They can't take us down otherwise.
Yeah.
And what's even weirder is, like, they show that weird montage where all around the country, like, world, they show, like, these destroyed, like, motherships.
Yep.
Like, they're even, like, in India, they show, like, these tribal-looking people with spears. Like, yay! Like,
we did it!
Like, wait a minute. How did they take that down?
Built, like, a human ladder and just threw one guy in there.
There's a guy with a slingshot. And just hits the thing and blows it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just see, like, all these, like, crashed, like, you know, just ships, and it's like, no, 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 that's yeah. not how that happened.
Yeah. Speaking of which, it's too bad Randy Quaid doesn't get work anymore.
I think it's probably for the best he doesn't get work anymore.
Because he's batshit insane right now.
How would you define Randy Quaid's career? Because
going off the edge and into freaking insanity?
Like, I think the earliest Randy Quaid I can think of, even like would be not even Christmas Vacation, but that year or two that he was on SNL in the mid 80s.
That was before I watched SNL.
Yeah, he was on there for like a year or two, and then they jettisoned that whole cast and everything. But then after that, he was like on like Christmas Vacation, and then he had like weird roles because he was like in Days of Thunder, I remember, as like an owner of an auto team.
He was almost like, what's his name, freaking Clint Howard. He'd just show up in movies as this weird,
he was
anytime you need a goofy looking guy.
He was in Kingpin. He was around that time.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my favorite underrated Bill Murray movies is Quick Change, where he dressed as a clown to rob banks. He was with Gina Davis and Randy Quaid, but then like the crime went wrong, so then they were trying to get out of town before getting caught by the police.
Interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Actually, that one's pretty good and everything, but yeah, then you have like Independence Day Randy Quaid. It's like, can you play a drunk crop duster? And it's like, can I?
I just applied for a job as one.
Right.
And then he went crazy. Now he's hiding out in Canada or something, isn't he?
I don't know. I thought he got arrested or, like, deported back or expeditioned or extradited from, like, the United States government.
I think he's, like, one of those people that's convinced that there's, like, doppelgangers out there that are trying to get him. And him and his wife are, like, hiding out somewhere. And they're convinced that, like, all of the Hollywood, like, elite are, like, this weird. Yeah, he went nuts.
How about this? He created a Facebook group to attack Area 51.
That would probably not be so far-fetched.
Full circle.
I would buy that. I would believe that. Yeah. Crazy times.
Yeah, why don't, like, celebrities go, like, weird crazy like that anymore? Like the early like 2000s, that was like what you did as a career move is that, hey, Britney Spears, what's going on with your career?
I'm going to shave my head and go nuts.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan, what are you going to do? I don't know, go crazy. And
maybe they just hide it better now.
I think part of it is that now it's maybe become normalized where you see, now it's like, oh, I don't need to go crazy. I just need to like now launch like an Instagram photo and...
Yeah, it's a different world now.
It is.
We're just living in it.
Are we?
Yeah, something.
What if we were part of, like, somebody's dream?
That could be. There's that theory that we're all just part of a computer program.
We're all part of, like, you know, it's like an Animal House where Donald Sutherland's saying that we could be the speck of, like, our universe could be the speck on somebody's fingernail.
Could be. You never know. How many universes are under my fingernails right now?
I don't know. How is Donald Sutherland still alive?
He is. He's old, probably.
That was the funny thing is like the Mockingbird or the Catching Fire, the whatever, yeah. The Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
They were like, whole thing is like, will he be able to do all the movies? And then Philip Seymour Hoffman was the one that ends up dying.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Isn't one of like, what's Michael Douglas's dad? Kirk Douglas?
Yeah.
Isn't he still kicking?
I don't know, man.
I think I want to say he's like ancient as heck too. Like when he's not looking good, but he's still around. I think
he looks like a robotic AI that's gone rampart, and
that could very well be.
And he doesn't know what to do anymore. He still like maintains some of the human mannerisms, but then he just goes off the deep end from there.
Yeah, crazy.
Not like Michael Douglas. Like at least Michael Douglas. Like, yeah, I can be in the Ant-Man movies. What, you can make me look young again? Yeah, hell absolutely. Yeah.
Sign me up.
He's just sitting there watching, like, Ant-Man all over, just repeating, like, look how young I was. Look at how young I was.
I'm dead sexy.
Oh, I'm young. That's great.
Yeah. Fun.
Yep. Yeah, we've been rambling for over an hour at this point.
Yeah, it's probably good. If anybody's still listening to us, thank you, everybody. Hi, Matt. Yeah, good times.
I'd like to call out my friends Ray Ray, Tebow, and Tiggs Johnson.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, thanks for listening to us ramble about utter nonsense. We didn't go quite as insane as we did in our last arbitrary episode.
No, I think because this is the third episode we've recorded in a row at this point. We're maybe a bit more drained.
We're sleepy, even though we've been drinking beer. Beer's good.
I'm drinking an energy drink.
It's midnight. What are you drinking an energy drink for?
I didn't sleep well last night.
You're not going to sleep well tonight.
No. I mean, you have to understand, like, an energy like this, it'll help keep me awake, but not, like, you know, 2 in the morning. Like, oh, I mean, it's... See, big yawn. Think of it this way. It's like how a heroin user, like, they do so much heroin that in order to get more potent. Right, in order to get the same high, they have to, like, have it, like, be more and more pure. That's it with caffeine nowadays. Is like, you can give me, like, a can of Mountain Dew, and, like, some people are like, oh, I can't take any Mountain Dew, because if I do, I'll be up all night. Whereas I drink a Mountain Dew, and it's like, well, good night, going to bed now. And
yeah.
It just moves the needle a little at this point, where it's like, and then it's like, oh, all right, well. Like, I think the only things that still affect me from a caffeine standpoint right now, where I feel an actual kick in there, is if I drink coffee, because I guess the caffeine and coughing affects me differently.
Well, you never used to drink coffee for a while.
Right, and then those, like, five-hour energy shots, if I drink those.
I do those, like, when I'm driving. If I'm on a, if I go drive up to the cabin, I'll do a five-hour energy sometimes to make sure I stay awake.
For what I work on weekends, I mean, I'm up at 1:30 and I work at 3. That's what I'll drink, because if you're doing a lot of physical labor, you don't want to, like, bloat yourself up drinking, like, a whole, like, 16-ounce can of whatever, and...
It'll mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, with that, everybody... I think we're done. I think.
Yep, maybe. That's it. We're going to pack it up. We're recording this on our new equipment that we have here for this podcast. So hopefully the difference makes a difference.
Yes, we each have our own microphone now.
Yeah, instead of us like huddling together like goddamn Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah, that was Bad News Bears.
I didn't like accidentally kissing you all those times.
Accidentally? Yeah. That was awkward.
I don't feel safe. I need an adult now.
Adults? What are those?
I don't know.
Something. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. As always, feel free. Follow us on Facebook, Mad Greek Roulette, Twitter. Share it around.
Yes.
Tell them that for quality content like this for free, I mean,
You can't go wrong.
Right. You can't. I mean, so we appreciate all of you.
We do.
Right. And if you have ideas for future episodes to avoid this train wreck from ever happening again.
Yes. Oh, it will.
I mean, we're in trouble right now. We don't have any Marvel movies to review until next year.
I know. We got Star Wars coming out in a few months.
A few months? You're talking like 5-6 months at this point.
A few 5 months. Yeah.
Borderlands 3, guys. Get it.
Yes.
It's coming out in a month and a half.
Do it.
Listen to R.L. Burnside.
Do it.
Thank you. We enjoy you. Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Good night, everybody. Sleep well.